Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Just because somebody is doing something that is wrong around you, God is not expecting you to show solidarity. So, the concept of mercy is very important when you consider your salvation experience in Christ. Don't just think, believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Yes, believe in Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, but you need to understand that what was deployed to make your faith effective was mercy. Hallelujah. So we cannot continue in sin and say that grace will what? Will abound. A lot of Christians, people in churches, people, a lot of people are playing with sin. And because they think God doesn't live in Nigeria or Africa, can I also tell you God doesn't live in the US? Eh? And God doesn't live in the UK. So, whatever excuse you have, I want you to know that mercy has an allocation. For everybody listening to me, whether you realize it or not, there's an allocation of mercy that is the prerogative of God. What God allocates to you is different from what he allocates to us. It is what makes him God. Say, we have mercy on whom I have. Somebody might just be doing something for so long and God will ignore the person. But you may do it once and you will not escape. Like the lady I was counseling with, just 19 years of age and she already has HIV. But some people, and she's still going online, you know, on TikTok and WhatsApp, posting her pictures at the club, having a good time. Then after the club picture, she will post a Bible verse and do. So, you know, and I've never seen such a very dark-skinned, beautiful girl like that before. But she's, I love you, but I can't marry you. You have something I don't want. So you need to understand that God's abundant mercy reaching out to us was what made it possible for us to be Christians. The Bible says, it's according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. So he gave birth to us. That when a man says, Father, in Jesus' name, I accept you as my Lord and Savior, in the supernatural, what is happening is that you are being given birth to. You are being given birth to as a spiritual man, as a child. So you are now God's child. You have the DNA of God in you. Look at verse 4. He said, we are begotten to a life by the resurrection of death of Jesus Christ from death to an inheritance. So what were we begotten into? An inheritance, which is what? Incorruptible and undefiled. Undefiled. That does not fade away. And where is it reserved? It's reserved for us in heaven. Praise God. So sometimes people don't really like to talk about heaven anymore. But believe me, heaven is still a major conversation. There are certain things, no matter how much you pray and fast, God will not answer you till you get to heaven. Those things are reserved in heaven. Verse 5. He said, we are kept by the power, the word who there is us. We who are kept by the power of God, through what? Now you see the concept of faith is coming up again. Now, please hear what I'm about to say. You have known faith as a requirement for giving your life to Christ. You have known faith as a requirement for receiving miracles, signs, and wonders, right? Now, there is a faith that keeps us, that purifies us. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God. Through faith. There is a dimension of faith that keeps us. That keeps us in the midst of a corrupt world. In the midst of a corrupt system. In the midst of all that is going on. Trials and tribulation. Your faith just stands strong. Jesus Christ is not the negotiable factor in your trial. Your relationship with God is not the negotiable aspect of your temptation. What I mean by that is, when you are going through trials and tribulation, things are not working for you, you are going through a lot of a season of unanswered prayers, unanswered questions. Some people will say, I'm not going to church today. I'm tired. I don't even want to pray again. What this scripture says is that because we are kept by the power of God, our relationship with God is not negotiable. Other things may go in the midst of that trial, but not our relationship with God. Because we are kept by the power of God through what? Through faith. So our faith, as long as our faith in God remains resolute, what happens to the power of God? It keeps us. Hallelujah. So you need to understand that these are processes, things that happen behind, at the back, you know, behind scenes, that many times we are not aware how that certain, maybe you found yourself in a situation where you almost could have decided to be living in sin for the next 3 months and nobody would know. Have you been in such a situation before? You just notice where I am now. Even if I'm sinning, nobody would know. Do you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Okay, some of you have never been in that situation. Does anybody here understand what I'm saying? Where if you decide now that this is how you want to be living your life, go deadly. Nobody will even suspect anything. Because everybody is busy, they are minding their business. But by reason of the work of faith in your heart, it's not an option. So please listen to me. Everybody here, listen to me. If you are still playing with sin, you don't understand the power that keeps you. You don't understand what God has released for you to be kept in this wicked world. You don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit that can keep you. Are somewhere just walking across the road, and the Bible says it daily loads us with benefit. Part of those benefits is what? Deliverance. Sometimes you can't even see what is going on, because if they have to tell you, you slow them down. Bible says we are kept. Come on, say I'm kept. The Bible says I am kept by the power of God, but that deployment of power rests on what? My faith in Jesus Christ. He said we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that is ready to be released in the last days, in the last time. So that means there is a grace that will be given to us in these last days to live as Christians. You cannot be a Christian in your own power. You cannot be a child of God by your own power. The Bible says there is something that is going to be released in these last days for our preservation. And it is us in Jesus' name. Verse 6 says, let's skip verse 6. Go to verse 7. The scripture says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. So God says here very clearly, if you are going through a trial and the Lord looks from heaven and sees the challenge you are going through, maybe you don't have money, maybe you are stranded, maybe you could actually make money if you decide to do something wrong, and God sees you standing by faith that I will not compromise, God says that action to him is more valuable than gold. Every time as Christians, we take a decision that nobody really would even care what we did. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody would really care whether you collected bribe or not, or you did something. Nobody cares. You understand? But God says he's looking at everything. He's looking at everything. God says looking at everything, though. He said the trial of your faith is more precious to me than gold. And God says this gold perishes. He said it perishes. He said though it be tried, he said though your faith being tried by fire will be found unto what? Praise and honor and glory. There are three elements God wants to see in your life. He wants to see praise. He wants to see honor, that your life honored him and was so pleasing to him, and that your life brought him glory. That your life, your personal life, not preaching life, not pastoral life, not ministerial life, that your personal life, this is the one people don't like. People want to walk in church, people want to sing, people want to preach, people want to pray, but people don't want to talk about their personal life because they believe it's their own, and God says it's a lie. It's not your own. There's something I'm looking for in your life. I'm looking for praise. I want your life to be like a song that rings or hums in my ears, so that when the enemy comes and says there's nobody serving you, God will say, have you seen my servant David? Have you seen my servant John? Have you seen my servant Sister Joy? Have you seen my servant Brother Pat? That is like when your life is like a song to him that he loves. You don't, in that level, you don't need to say, come Holy Spirit. He is always there because he finds you so pleasing to be around. But you see, this is not really about your ministerial life as it is about what? Your personal life. So there are three elements God wants to see in our lives. He wants to see praise. What else? He wants to see honor. And he wants to see glory. So that when Jesus comes, he will be coming with a smile. Because the only argument God has with Satan now is that when you come, there nobody will have faith again. I hope you know Jesus talked about it. Say, when the Son of Man shall return, shall he find faith? Not shall he find people going to church. Please, are you with me now? Are you tracking? He didn't say, are we going to find people speaking in tongues? No, that was not the argument. Say, when the Son of Man will return, shall he find what? Faith. That means faith is something God is. Because without faith, your life cannot bring praise, it cannot bring honor, and it cannot bring glory. Because everything that you would have to do to bring praise, honor, and glory to God will be by what? Will be by what? By faith. We live in a generation where people want to have supernatural encounters and see angels and say, those things are good, but they are not necessary. Come on, are you with me now? Yes, that somebody sees an angel doesn't make him spiritually matured, more matured than you. The angel might even be there to warn him the way they warned Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. So don't be that you saw an angel, you better calm down and listen to what the angel wants to tell you. Your mouth is unclean. It's not a sign of encounter. I saw his train fill the temple. I saw the glory of the Lord. I saw the cherubims and the seraphim. Oh God, calm down. There's something they want to tell you. We cannot use you again. You will no longer be a prophet. Your life doesn't match your ministry. Please, are you with me? Please, you must understand that the anointing God places on your life validates God, not you. Your own life and decision to live in the fear of God and personal holiness is what God is excited about. Please, are you with me? Church is quiet too. Should we? Okay, you are blessed. Should I? Let me read one psalm that you people like now. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall know. You people like that one. I say take responsibility. There are some of us, some of them are here, some of them are like, we are playing with sin. And God said, do not touch the unclean thing so that I can receive you. He did not say if you are a Christian, you are exempted. No. The subject of personal refraining, personal effort to refrain from sin, we must talk about it again. Because we live in a time and a generation where everybody is doing so, nobody is talking. How can we give a Christian a job and he's the one stealing in that office? Do you know that many years ago, the only requirement you needed was that you're a Christian? In this country. Anywhere. Now, the only way we know Christians is that they speak in tongues. God punish devil. Aye. Please, are you with me? In this church, wherever you go, you must be known as a Christian, not because of your noise, but your life. You must make it a decision. Because the scripture says that the trial of your faith is more precious to him. That means the moment I begin to live my life in honor of God and the fear of God, trial will rise. Trial will rise to test what I am presenting. Maybe it qualifies as gold. Or maybe it is something that will be burnt. Listen to me. Many people on that day, they will be foolish virgins. Don't join the popular bandwagon. There's nothing there. Come on, say there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Just because it's popular doesn't mean God approves it. You have to be very careful of popular things. If God was popular, they won't kill Jesus. So how come it's the same Jesus we are talking about and everybody? The scriptures, what the scripture says, the world loveth their own. The world loveth their own. Our gospel cannot be loved. You can only repent when you hear it. You cannot love us. I just like that pastor. You know, his message is very balanced, both whether Muslim or Christian. Hey! Stop it. Stop it. Repent. The message is not for you to like it. It's a call for you to what? To repent. So if people love your message, you need to go and check it. Because, you know, I've said it before. For a pastor to make heaven is beyond the issue of salvation. Huh? When all of you go to heaven, all of you that call yourself pastor, apostle, line up here. Say, huh, you. You are the one that told people that one saved forever saved. Say, okay, you stand like this. Your own, you people, you are, I will attend to you last. Say, ah, Ben guy, you just go in. You don't have problem. You don't have problem. You know, your own is, you know that you are perfect, but you are okay. You see these ones? I will be like, ah, these ones. Satan said, don't, just let me take them. Fool me, now, lay. See this one? This one. The only thing he does in his church is he dances. That's why he dances. That's all he does. A prophet. That's all he does. They know him. He's a dancer. Is that why God called you? And you, some of you think I'm to go on TikTok. They are. Please, who understands what I'm saying? You see them always dancing, always using mental. There's something called mentalism. A mental. They use their mind to control people. But you're a man of God, has nothing to do with making people fall under the anointing. We have to understand what God is interested in. If God comes to this church now, he will not ask me how many people I gathered. He will say how many people measure up to praise and honor. That's what he will ask me. So why should I lie to you? Why should I lie? You should even be concerned if I'm telling you what you want to hear. Say, pastor, is everything okay with your spiritual life? because we notice of late that your message is somehow. Look at verse 8. The Bible tells us in verse 8. It says, even though we have not seen him. You see what faith does. You see what faith can do to a man. In the midst of confusion, when people are saying, did Jesus actually come to this world? Where people are asking, is Jesus even real? Where people are questioning the authority of the Bible. Look at what faith will do in your life. Say, even though you have not seen him, what happens to you? You still love him. Come on, are you here now? Are you seeing what faith will do in your life? You are going through trial, though. You are going through so many problems. You may not even have 10,000 in your pocket now, right now. But because of what faith has done, it has preserved you by the power of God. So that any time the matter of our Lord Jesus Christ just rises around you in your heart, what happens to you? Your love bowels begin to flow. He said, even though you have not seen him, you are so persuaded, you love him, you know why he died for you, you know why he came to this world for you. You really cannot explain it, but the matter of Jesus is settled in your heart. He said, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, you do what? You believe. And you rejoice. With what? Joy unspeakable. Every time they try to make you feel like you are, your own is too much, the Spirit of God in you will be giving you unspeakable joy. Joy that you can, that always confirms to you, you are still on God's side. When you are going through trials and you are asking your wife or you are asking your people, how are we going to survive this season? You will wake up sometimes with a song and you will not be able to explain the joy in the midst of the challenges you make. And you see, if you have never experienced this kind of joy, you will not know. You will not know it exists, that you can be in the midst of problem and you will be experiencing joy unspeakable. Full of what? Glory. Full of glory. May you have that experience. Amen. We need to have that experience. Verse 9, it says, we receive the end of your faith, which is what? Come on, which is what? What is the end of your faith? Now, I want you to pay attention to this verse. That when a man claims he has worked with God, at the end of that transaction, there's something God is looking at. There's something he's looking for. Don't be confused about it. The Bible is, that's it. Put it up there. Let them see it. When you get to the end of your journey of faith, because what God will not do anything in your life that would not require you to continue believing. Please, you must understand this. God will not do anything in your life that will not require you to continue what? Believing. The moment you do not have the need to trust him, you are already out. And God says at the end of that journey, you will receive something that is called what? The salvation of your soul. So now let's look at the soul. Now when a man, the Bible says the soul that sinned, what happens to him? Now that's a very strong word. Can your soul sin? Huh? Can your soul sin? Okay, let's debate. I'm asking, can your soul sin? Okay, you all of you that said yes, how? Huh? You people want to sleep here? Somebody is saying something. I talk now. You don't want them to hear your voice on the camera. Sir? Our soul is still being renewed. I said, how can your soul sin? Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 from verse 17 to 20, very quickly. Look at your screen. Do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the restroom, the toilet? Next verse. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? From where? And they what? They defile the man. So some of you are still thinking one thing, one thing. Don't go far. Let me show you something. Next verse. Ah! Hey! For out of the heart proceed what? Hello? Now, who has had an experience with this one in the last 2 months? Even you just, this guy should just fall down and should hit his head on that wall. Ah, somebody is honest. Ah, somebody over there too. Like, okay, some of you are very righteous. Somebody did something that really offended you, just like, if not for God. Who is this non-entity? If not for that, how old is he? This is some small rat. How many of you has thought somebody is a small rat? Look at this, if not for of the office that joined us together. Who is this rat? He said, nobody. He said, no entity. It's my younger brother's age, with my third junior brother. Somebody's agreeing. Uh-huh. Give me that scripture. Some people online now, they are also remembering. You must remember. He said, out of the heart. What is the first thing Jesus said comes out of the heart? So that means any thought that is not in alignment with agreement with what the word of God says, especially as it has to do with my fellow man, is an evil thought. Any thought that wishes a fellow human being evil, even though it's in your, in your mind, you can do so many things. You can kill, you can resurrect. You can even, that girl that is saying no to you, you can marry her in your mind. Yeah. Take her to the church. Take her for honeymoon in Dubai. But all your life, you are a mushin. Or a jangbadi. Or Mowe. or Akure, but in this, sometimes you just sit down 10 p.m. to 1. You have traveled far. You've married. You've done so many things. You took a private jet. But when you came back, you are still in Nigeria. No passport. Or you have an expired passport. Eh? Sometimes you can kill a person in your mind. Eh? And even out, or break his leg. Eh? The Bible says evil thought. Look at the next thing Jesus talked about. He talked about murder. Still along the lines, all these things are taught so. Everything Jesus talked about that he says can defile a man's heart or soul, they are taught. There are things that can happen in your mind and nobody will know. Ah, Brother David. Pastor David. In your mind, like all these small, small boys that are calling themselves pastors. When we were serving God, I remember in 1989, we were at one crusade. Hey, they are, Pastor David, how old are you? You are not saying anything, you are just trying to let him know that when we are talking, just you may be a pastor to them, but when we are here, just keep quiet. May your deliverance not be in the hands of somebody you have looked down on. You now realize that your pride will be the reason why you will die. Not that the power of God was not available. Jesus, our Lord, said that we must look out for what? Evil thoughts, murders. See the next thing, adultery. You know, how many of you saw my video online about emotional adultery? Sexting. Texting a lady and, you know, you're just having fun. Let them see this Bible verse. Because some people don't like, they don't read this chapter. Let me show them today. Adultery, fornication. What are you doing behind closed door talking to a lady? Even if she's your, she can't be, a woman cannot be your prayer partner. Is something wrong with you? Even Jesus didn't try it. Think about it. As perfect as Jesus, he didn't have one female apostle. Who are you? You want to do what your master did not do? So one brother said, when I was in school, he said, God has really graced me to help sisters. He said, anytime they tell me their problem, he said, it's as if the Lord just ministers to me. I know how to cancel them. I said, my brother, you're already in hell. you can't miss it. You're already in hell. The way I'm looking at you, your name is somewhere in the book of life. How can God send you? You that they have to go and study your book. God gave you ministry, not against demons and principality. It's for sisters. And they always come to you. They don't go to the president. They don't go to the sister because it's only you that they trust. Jesus, out of your heart. Proceeds fornication. See that? Look at this one. Theft. Do you see that a thief didn't steal because he had the opportunity? He was first a thief at heart. Forget anything. Something it just happened. Nothing just happens. Yeah. Nothing just happens. He has been thinking about it. Yes, it's a mistake, but you have been thinking about it. Jesus said, these are things that can defile a man. You know, we are talking about the salvation of the soul. So when that day comes, what God wants to see is a life that is free from this thing. Please, are you with me now? God wants to see. You know, sometimes when we preach above people's head. People don't really understand the nitty-gritty. That's why forget 1 Peter. Look at Matthew 15. Look at it. Theft. False witness. Oh my God. This was how they killed our Lord. People came out and said, he said he will do this. People came out and Jesus did not reply once. So I do not believe that because there is witness that thing is true. It's only God that knows truth. You see, the pain of false witness, especially when that person is someone that has eaten with you, slept in your room, had fellowship with you, and he stood up and said, yes, I saw him do it. That pain is even more brutal than the accusation that was leveled against you. You must pray against the warfare of false witnesses. This prayer, go and pray it. Go and pray against the warfare that comes from false witness. It's a very bad thing. Because the people that will stand against you are people that are your own. And people will not, you know what they said about Jesus? They say, what other witness do we want? That's what they said. What other witness are we looking for? High priest has spoken, all these people came. He insulted our father Abraham. Our Lord, it's as if he wanted to die. He did not even defend himself. Those people were sent to kill him, and he too accepted to die. Because if he has spoken, what will you say? See 21 witnesses. It's just like the way they took Donald Trump to the court. 34 count charge, guilty. Now yesterday they said one of the jurors, the people that did, they say something happened. So now they are confessing. That man should come to Nigeria and be our president. He should not worry about those people. We need you here. We need you. We will vote for you. We'll put you here. We'll give you a Nigerian name, Osayonwambo. We'll give you a name. Don't worry. Leave this your people. We be your people. They come. You can't. A former president cannot lose in Nigeria. Cannot lose a case in Nigeria. What do you mean? Yeah. Want to pay you? You know, see, the judgment for Nigeria will be very special. I'm telling you. All those politicians. In fact, after Pastor God, you are from Nigeria, politician, you've heard the political, all of you come like this. No need to talk about you. Yeah, Satan, carry all of them. He said this one. If I start judging their case, we will not leave here. Just pack them. I don't want to see them again. Chai. The Bible talks about blasphemies. Now, this matter of blasphemies, if you go online today, especially on Instagram and TikTok, and see what people open their mouth to say against God, you'll be afraid. I don't know if you've seen some of those things. Like, a small person like this, even Pharaoh, when Moses went to tell him, release, he couldn't say some things. This generation, the things they are saying. Hey, someone said, look at what Jesus said. Someone said, oh yeah, open your Bible. If you are, some door, you can open your Bible to Matthew 15. Open your mouth and say there was a woman. Say there was a woman of Cana. The person who read the verse, cut it in two. Now say, how can the God of the Bible? You see, that the God of the Bible is Satan. Son, I'm going to prove it to you today. Hey? And you'll be seeing 5,000 likes, 10,000 likes. Who are the people liking all this? They are the people that came to church last Sunday. Many of them. Blasphemies. What is that? Say you are speaking tongue. What's the meaning of what you are saying? Rubbish. It's nothing like tongue. People are saying rubbish. People arrange miracles. People say things that, and please, God has not sent you to defend him. Huh? You, your job, know your job, leave God's job for him. There was a brother who, I saw his video, he came back on TikTok to apologize. He's a white American, insulted God, like finished him. When they ended the video, he started throwing up. He said he was sick for a long time. He was now using the F word. Say, oh my, F, you know. Oh my, like the God of the Christians has caught me, like, I feel like, he was now saying, I feel like I want to die. He was vomiting, throwing up. Came back online to say, I'm sorry, that thing I said is cruel. It's not just for media. He came back to apologize. One woman spoke against the Bible, collapsed on the stage, and died. Let them continue. You see, God's fight, when he starts moving, you can't even hold him to say, why did you do it? It's like wind. Blasphemies. You must be careful not to blaspheme, especially when you are offended. God, why me? I served you. So why not you? If truly your hope is in heaven, Why don't you want to die now? If truly you believe that heaven is the best place, though, you see, somewhere in your mind you are thinking that maybe that heaven don't really exist. That with the evidence coming out from science now, it won't be good for you to go and die now. Because if you now die, now realize that heaven is, like somebody said, heaven is the reality of your own mind. Rema. Somebody died, came back, said that when he died, he saw his soul at the bar where they drink. That he said he was now asking the person that was talking to him that, where is heaven, where is hell? The person now told him that, no, heaven or hell is a figment of what the summary of what your life was. So if your whole life, you are at the bar drinking, you will just find that in your subconscious, you know, it's like you are dreaming. You'll just be drinking for the rest of eternity. You'll just be drinking. So people are coming out with false, blasphemous doctrine. And the key to blasphemy is the fear of God and the knowledge of Scripture. The key to blasphemy is what? The fear of God and the knowledge of Scripture. So that when you hear people saying things that are blasphemous, but they are saying it stylishly, your spirit can quickly put a finger on it that this one is not of us. How many of you know that the Antichrist will come out from the church? The Bible said they went from us because they were not part of us. The Antichrist look at the word Antichrist. That Antichrist has more Christ than anti. So he's someone that has been in our midst. He knows what we like. He knows the kind of song we sing. He can behave like us. Just because somebody is singing a Christian song doesn't make him a Christian. In verse 20, Jesus said, these are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unclean hands, unwashed hands, does not defile a man. So when you eat without washing your hands, you get sick. But that's in your body. It doesn't mean you are not righteous. In fact, this was one of the things they had against him, that Jesus doesn't wash his hands when he eats. I hope you know. They accused, in fact, they went to the disciples, your master. You know they wash hand. You know get personal hygiene. Now they bath. Jesus know they wash hand. Say, leave us. We know what we know. We are in Christ. But they came. Okay, they say, you know they wash hand. Make it a try. They wash at least sometimes. Where would they for public? All the time Jesus washed that. It was someone that washed it. Jesus did not plan to wash. In the day they washed his leg, there was one woman that came. Jesus no send them. So Jesus had to do a teaching. You people that say you want to be washing hand and leg and head, look at your mind. All of you are planning to kill me. You will not make it. The state of your heart is one of the things that faith wants to achieve, your faith in Christ. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Verse 9. He said, receiving the end of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your soul. So, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the antidote to the salvation of the soul is what? The renewing of the mind. Not dancing. Not prayer. The word of God. Prayer has its own require. It has its own job. But you see, as far as thinking like Christ, thinking with the word of God, you have to sit down. You can't listen to a message, a 1 minute message, cut and join, and say you have heard the word of God. In those days, we listen to 3 hours message with cassette tape. We used to have this thing they call Walkman. We'll buy batteries, all these small batteries. Abi, we'll play it. Sometimes when the battery dies, we'll go and put the battery in the sun. Abi now? Yes, sir. That was the price we paid. Now it is the price of data. But people are now even more confused because they do not understand that the word of God has a goal, a target. And the target is what? To save your soul. And how will God's word save your soul? By changing the way you think. If God's word has not changed the way you think about any matter, you are not in this game at all. You will be a foolish virgin. If you think, for instance, that you must have some kind of sexual intimacy before you marry your wife to test for compatibility. You want to test. Are you a scientist? You want to test for compatibility. Now God know who compatible. I'm telling you. Now God know who compatible. And you are in church. But let's assume you are in the choir, a member of the choir. But in your family, they believe that you must get pregnant before you marry. I hope you know there are families like that. Yeah. So it is your job to say, well, Mama, what you have said is good. But as a child of God, don't say in our church. Because when you say in our church, you are trying to tell us you are not, your faith is not solid. We are talking about your own what you've taken God's word and made it your own personal principle. Mama, we cannot. How many of you, when you got engaged, those of you who are married, you went to maybe your husband or fiancé's house, they now served your food together. Who has had that experience? You are not married though yet, but they've known you. They now served your food together. Let's save our plate, so I won't be washing. They now put the food together, expecting that since you people are going to, like, after all, you are already, you know where you meet, eh? So now that you are here, let's eat together. Then they now put your room together. Who knows what I'm... Oh, is that people are very righteous here? The kind of cases me I deal with, those are the kind of problem they have. Collaboration, they are collaborating. They tell them, okay, you sleep in Michael's room or Charles's room. Tell your younger brother, you, go to the parlor. Say, sorry, Mama, we cannot sleep in. Say, what's there? I say, no, we are Christians. God will not approve. In their mind. But the moment you initiate that transaction, they will start watching. Have you heard a man, maybe like your father, say to somebody, if it is about this matter, go and ask David. Is the one that can tell you is a Christian. The moment they can call you Christian, not pastor, Christian, that means they've watched you. They've seen that your average decision is a Christian-based or Christ-based decision. That's the matter of your soul. But you see that your soul is a very dangerous guy. It knows how to maneuver. That is why you always have to feed it. Take your soul and say, no, listen. We are not going in this direction. Yeah. After some time, your soul will get tired of fighting. It will humble itself. Yeah. That's why we have problems today. Because in those days, a brother is a brother, Michael, sister is sister, Kemi. Now everybody is Kemi. Now fornication is everywhere. But when we first gave Africa a brother apart, we were taught that this is your brother. This is your sister in Christ. You are supposed to protect her, not abuse her. And in those days, when you make a mistake, you will not even climb the altar. By yourself, you take yourself to the back, then come and be repenting. And Satan is so smart. The day you sin is when they'll say, come and give us opening prayer. It's as if the ground should open. Because you know where you're coming from. Say, Bratunde, okay, yeah, you're around. Take opening prayer. Say, let's begin to pray for mercy. Oh God, where are you coming from that you are praying for mercy? This is a church service, so which one is let's say, you know, sometimes we all sing. The Bible says, which Bible? Oh God, will you get out of that place? They say, I pray for mercy. Where are you coming from? Have you been living in sin? Now, listen to me. Whether you are in the UK, we have people who are joining us from the UK, Austria, all the, this same thing applies to them. It is not a Nigerian gospel. Now, let me tell you something that you may not like to hear. When the word of God works on your mind, I want to hit you below the belt. Too. So you need to sit down properly now. This one is jabbing. You cannot dress with the intention to be fashionable alone. Let us pray. Can I go deeper? You can't show your cleavage. As a brother, you can't dress like an irresponsible person. You can't sag your jeans. Can I go deeper? You can't show pant lines. I know you are a child of God, but you can't show it. You are a reckless person. Nobody has told you, but I'm telling you today. Because the matter of how you look, you are representing Christ. We don't do fashion. We represent our government. And you are an ambassador of Christ. You cannot send somebody from the US to come to Nigeria and you see him wearing a... He will dress to represent his culture. When he's going to the White Aso Rock, he will dress. Sometimes when they have ceremony, you see him wear your this thing, but they know who they represent. That one is just culture, ceremonial. They dress to suit what? Their government, their economy. There are a lot of things a lot of us are doing. It is only a sign that Christ has no rule over us. Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That was the message I wanted to preach today. Seven areas where God will require moderation. And one of it is your dressing. Another one is in the area of your speech. But there are some other ones. So if you people are nice, you people don't like this kind of message, I'll come back and it will be a Sunday message so everybody can cry. Moderation. The world wants to tell you there are no rules. That forget about it. It's that generation. They are dead now. Listen. That thing you are doing that you say you are free, Jesus has traced it to the state of your heart. And he said, all these things are what? Uncleanliness. And uncleanness is one of the works of the flesh. Like witchcraft. So, God knows my heart too. I wanted to make you people happy today. What verse did I stop? Let's round up. Okay, let's let's just end here. Verse 12 and 13, 13, 14, 15, and 16. Verse 13, quickly. I better go. Give me King James. Wherefore, what's the next word? What's the next word? What does that mean? Buckle up. If you don't get up your loins, your trousers can fall off. The Bible says when he comes, we should not be found naked. Now, what is this loins, this get up, this girdle? What is it? What did Paul refer to that is close to this girdle? Paul was teaching us, he said what? He said, when he was talking about what? The weapons? What did he call the girdle? The belt of truth. The belt of what? The truth of what? God's word. That without it, you will not hold. You will not hold. You will be naked. You will be found wanting. Which means you have it as a responsibility. You must find out what God's word says about a matter and not what public opinion. The pastor can be wrong. He said, come on. He said, guard up the loins of your mind. Where did Peter apply the girdle? On our mind. Which means the area of contention we normally have is in areas where our mind feels, maybe there should be another option. No? A man should be able to marry three wives. Because there are some people, the only Bible verse they know is where all the fathers of faith that had more than one wife. That's the only Bible verse they know. They don't know Jesus saying in the beginning it was not so. They don't know that. But David, like one pastor in Ghana was saying, you can marry more wives because the population of women is not as much, and we need to balance the equation. So you are the one God has sent to help us balance the equation. So when you die, you will meet your judgment. The Bible says, guard up the loins of your mind. Give me that scripture. And be what? What does it mean to be sober? So being sober is a state where you can see clearly. The flip side of this is a drunken man. He doesn't know himself. When he's drunk, he doesn't know himself again. There are things he will do. By the time the alcohol wears off, he's like, I'm in the gutter. There are not things he would have done on a normal day if he was sober. And God says, my children, as you are in the end times, you must be what? Sober. There are many things people will tell you. There are doctrines people will preach. If you are not sober, you won't see that it's an error. Because there will be eye sounding. There will be things that when you hear, they say, wow. But God said, when you apply the principle of soberness, something seems to be wrong with what this man is saying. If you hear a message, and after you finish hearing that message, you say, Mama Blue. Pastor has said it. I'm a blue. This Lagos, we go make up. Just drag yourself to this altar and start praying for mercy. Because if you blow, there will be nothing of you left. It's like a bomb. Don't blow. Because if you blow, there will be nothing of bone, everything scatter. Don't blow. Be sober and what? And hope. What is God's expectation of every Christian? To hope. Jesus is coming soon. Glory to God. If I die today, the Lord is waiting to receive me. A Christian should not be afraid of death. A Christian cannot die prematurely. Because whichever way, God wins. Whichever way. Even God delights in the death of his servants. He collects their bones. He said we should hope. When in those days, you know, I don't know how the young people do it now. In those days, when we come to church, we live with the hope of that second coming of Jesus. You live. When I was in Apostolic Faith, there's one church we call Apostolic Faith. After the pastor preaches, all of us will come to the altar to kneel down. We'll cry. Cry, you. Nobody will collect offering from you. We'll pray. Cry. When you are tired, you get up. Then when they put the offering basket at the door, as you are going, anything you have. Because now your heart is pure. You can give. You drop it. We should not come to church and live without Christ in our memory. It's a wrong sign. So the message of righteousness, Christ-centered message, must come back to the church. Because Peter is telling us that we must hope. That means if we raise 1,000 people in this church and we cannot get 999, that when you talk to them, you say, wow, they are always talking about things that pertain to heaven. How glorious it will be on that day. An average Christian doesn't know that it will be glorious on that day. They don't talk about it. Because when you talk about it, nobody wants to hear, let us do this one before we go to heaven. Nobody is interested. People just want to use God and make it and abandon him. Say we should hope. To the end. Come on, say to the end. So you have to hope to the end. Brethren, we have to hope to the end. Listen, I know many of us are going through challenges. We will not always be at this level. I'm telling you, and this is a word of encouragement, you will not always have this problem you are having. But something you cannot afford to lose is that your hope that Jesus is waiting on the other side of eternity. Not an angel. Jesus. Oh, my brother, I don't know if you can see it. That when you leave this world, it will be your master waiting to say, come, I've been waiting. Do you understand what I'm saying? Such a glorious day to be. Such a glorious day to be. That when you see him, and you now realize that everything you read in the scriptures was true. That indeed Jesus is beautiful. That indeed Jesus is glorious. That indeed there is a heaven and a hell. And that this, that you have come into a season of reward. Say we should hope to the end. Because many times Satan will try to distract you, to swerve you, so that you lose your hope. The moment you lose your hope, you cannot run the race again. The moment you lose your hope, you will not have a reason to be a Christian. The moment you lose your hope, any small negative advice will throw you off. Please, let me preach to your neighbor, don't lose your hope. Now let me tell your neighbor, don't lose your faith. If you read this chapter, you will notice that three recurring things, faith, hope, and love, is in this chapter. And that was what Paul told us. There are three things, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? You cannot hope for what you don't love. You cannot hope. Some of you will order something on Jumia. They will tell you they are on their way. You will say, hey, where is this dispatch? What did you buy? Not you. You didn't buy anything. It's just Oraimo earpiece or something. Headset. That's all. Nobody will hear what you're calling the dispatch. Where are you? I want to go out. Oga, what did you spend? You spent 14,000. You want to... Oga, no fuel. But that's the power of hope. Because you are expecting something. And you... How many of you have bought something and then you now realize that this thing was not as... This thing was... Like they used your head. They used to collect your money. He said we should hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, we should not fashion ourselves according to what? The former lust. In what? So every time a Christian decides to live his life as an unbeliever, God says he's ignorant. There's something he does not know. If you know what God, how God sees you, you will not touch that thing again. That sin you are playing, you will not touch it. And please, let me say this. If you are struggling in your faith and you have tried to revive your spiritual life and you are struggling, don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Don't. Most of us who come to my office and our pastor, most of them is just, the problems, just look at them, is they are the result of dead spiritual battery. If most people are on fire, you will be in the midst of challenges, but your fire will be hot. They will be trying to, they can't touch you. They'll just notice things are happening, but your fire, you are resolute. If I die, I die. I'm not turning my back. Because what they want is for you to turn your back. And it will not happen. Satan likes lukewarm Christians, but not in this church. Now, when you are a lukewarm Christian, everybody likes you. They say you are matured. They say you are matured. I like him. Can you listen to Brother Marcus? Very matured. You are an extremist. Simply because you told people that they cannot sin. And they ask, is it your sin? Is it your sin? If I choose to sin, my God is a God of mercy. Once saved, forever saved. Whatever I do with my body does not affect my spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My brother, you will make hell successfully. He said, not fashioning your as obedient children. So look at what God is looking for. Obedient children, that means you take his word as law. Not negotiating, trying to find a way around it. If you've read it in your Bible and it's there in English, obey it. Stop looking for Greek or Hebrew. Obey it. It's there. Don't take what belongs to another man. Even in Edo State or Delta, if you touch another man's wife, there's a sacrifice you have to do. Not to talk of the Bible. Some people believe that more than the Bible. That's why the average Easterner needs to really know Christ. Because the average Easterner in Nigeria is transactional. Their relationship with God is, if I do this, you do this. If I do this, you do this. They don't know how to, a lot of them don't know how to follow God by faith. They are not really interested in the relationship. That's why somebody can be in Onitsha and be shouting, I have many powers. Can be shouting, I have many powers. And any power more than Jesus Christ is of the devil. So, sir, you are not of God. Sir, wherever you are. You are not my friend again. He said, as obedient children, you must refuse fashioning yourselves. You know what it means to fashion? To dress up yourself. According to what? Your lust. Your lust, they talk about your desires. Things you could have done on a good day to feel good. Sometimes you just want to do something. And God say, my son, come and pray for 30 minutes, 20 minutes. And God say, okay, leave your phone in the room. You come to the parlor. Do you know some people cannot pray now without their phone? Do you know that? Do you know some people cannot pray if they don't play music on their phone? So how will you survive when you... Now you are in Nigeria, the weather is 33 degrees. When you get to the UK now, and you see minus 15 degrees, how will you survive? The weather alone has destroyed your prayer life. If you look, let me tell you, for you to be able to say you want to party, you better make sure that your anointing, your prayer life is very hot. Huh? Some of you don't understand. Okay, if you were in church last Sunday, you understand. Finally, but as he which hath called you is holy, so we must be holy in all manner of what? Conversation. Where's my Bible reader? They have traveled. They are angry at me. She's back. In all manner of what? That word conversation means your living. The way you live your life, the way you talk, the way you do everything. Verse 16 and the final verse. Okay, 16 and 17, final verse. But it is written, be ye holy, for I am what? Whose responsibility is it to be holy? According to this scripture. This is different from righteousness by faith. This is God saying, you deliberately stay away from anything that you know will make me turn my back on you. You don't take what is not yours. If you find something, if you find money on the floor, it's not breakthrough. Okay, if you find 1,000, okay, if you find 100,000 there on the road, it's not God that is answering your prayer. Because the average Lagosian does not believe that money is divine provision. It's not divine provision. You will go to hell for that. Say be holy. Please tell your neighbor, be holy. That means be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will what? I will receive you. If you touch unclean thing, we turn his back. Don't be shouting, we are righteous by faith. Don't stop taking what is not yours. You're a thief. Don't stop stealing. Paul said those that still should not steal. They were in the church. Oh. They were born again. And Paul was still preaching. Meanwhile, the same Paul that some people are preaching, we don't even understand what they are saying. So eternal life is a dimension. See, Paul said, don't steal. Is there anybody in the church that does not understand, do not steal? Paul said, don't steal. That means in his church, some people were still stealing and they were sitting in front. Say, let him walk with his hands. Hallelujah. I said, let him walk. Walk is good. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, walk is good. That's Paul's message. Don't say your only job you have is prayer life. No, go and look for work. Work, sweat, take paracetamol, sleep. Look for business, sell water, sell bottled water, sell minerals. Say, hey, go do something. Don't say God is come. God will not come. Walk. Be holy, be separate. That means in the anytime you find yourself in the midst of people, know that there's a demand on you to represent Christ. And you must be what? Separate. In all manner of conversation. Some people are not born again when it has to do with business. Because church is one thing, business is another thing. So some people cannot be trusted with true riches because of the way they handle money. Verse 17, and if he call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work. I hope you know that when Jesus comes, he will not judge according to his own righteousness. He will judge you according to your work. It's in the Bible. Some people are going about say, I'm not saying you not go to heaven, no. I said, look at what the Bible says, that when God, who is not a respecter of any man, comes to judge, he will say, oh yeah, bring his fire. Let's look at everything he has done. So instead of you to be complaining about who is serving God, is it not better for you to start working? So that when he comes, there will be something to check. Meanwhile, many people, their work will be consumed with fire. Somebody came here recently. Recently, say, I want to report somebody to you. He's committing fornication. I asked him, I said, who sent you? You, are you saved? That's why I asked the person, you, we are still fighting for your salvation. You came to report somebody else. Eh? An unfaithful man calling another person fornicator. I said, you better go and repent. He said, yes, sir, I'm sorry, sir. I said, go and sin no more. If you know the thing I did here for this officer. He said, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. Verse 19, for as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, hallelujah, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by the tradition of your fathers. We will come back on that day and look at the tradition of fathers. But look at what the scripture says. In verse 19, finally, but we were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Please, let me tell your neighbor, don't lose your faith in Jesus Christ. My prayer for everyone today, including myself, is that our hope in Christ will be renewed. Let me pray again. I say my prayer is that our hope in Christ will be renewed, so that your relationship with God will become beautiful and it will blossom. And then you can tell your children, the reason why we go to church, the reason why we serve God, is because we have a hope. We are not serving God to be rich. We are serving God because he deserves to be worshipped. I pray for everyone here, let's bow our heads as we pray, that the Lord will give grace. The Lord will restore. Those of us who may be struggling in our relationship with God, the Lord will help us. From today, our hope will be restored. Our hope in Jesus will be restored. We pray for everyone that is struggling with sin. From today, the desire for sin will lift away from you. Whether you are online or you are here right now, the abundant mercy of God will locate you. And your hope in Christ will be renewed. And you will become a vibrant son of God. In the name of Jesus. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, Jesus said to that woman, who has condemned you? And he said, the woman said, no one. I said, okay. Therefore, as the one who has power over sin, I say to you, go and sin no more. When Jesus rose at the from the grave, that was the woman standing there waiting for him. Therefore, today, for everyone listening online and for those that are here, we receive the power over sin in Jesus' name. We will no more be held bound by sin. In the name of Jesus, and we begin to increase in our desire for righteousness and for holiness. And may your eyes behold the beauty of holiness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.